Chapter 57. Virginia. Black Cathedral. Night lilies respond well to a gentle touch. They do not abide rough handling. That's when their necrotic spines come out to play. I had them made that way, as my last in a long line of redundant defences, all of which have either been deactivated or removed, except my bloody damn flowers. Precisely because it is more in line with something Atalantia would have lying around than Virginia Au Augustus. The clone flinches as several sets of glistening needles burst from the flower to pierce his thumb. He screams at the sudden blinding pain. The shaded toxins of the lily trickle slowly down the tip of his thumb, spreading toward his hand. He falls backward, staggered by the intensity of the poison. I feel the agony as well. It seeps from my right index finger, up my arm, straight to my spinal column. I almost throw up, but I must move. I throw my body forward off the chair to the floor near the clone's data pad. He dropped it the second after the needles went in. The flower's spines have retracted. I pick it up very gently. Flower in one hand, pad in the other. I crawl to the puzzle wall, trying to turn off the psychospike without getting another dose of the spreading poison. The third puzzle at the bottom on the left is a transponder to the escape door. This puzzle had to be on the door for it to open, and not hidden in Lilith's creepy suite. If I press my hand to the wall when the puzzle is present, the door will slide up and I can escape. If I can just get to it. The door to the hall explodes inward as Lilith responds to her Emperor's cries. She's carrying two hatchets. She runs toward me. I find the right function on the data pad and return sensation to my legs. I scramble upward and lunge to touch the wall behind the pictures without disturbing the flower in my hands. A jarring force hits my back. It almost feels like a punch compared with the searing pain in my index finger. The necrotic poison is spreading for the hand. If it gets to the torso, I'm dead. But by the wrist, I'll be in such agony I won't be able to move. I slam my other hand into the wall. The wall shoots straight upward to reveal a metal chute at waist height. I duck and drop the flower just as Lilith tries to chop my head off from behind. I try to spin kick her legs, but she steps over the kick and delivers a slash downward. I catch it on my left forearm. The bone breaks so abruptly that it pierces the skin. I stumble back into the wall beside the chute and reach for the flower with my poisoned hand. Lilith is brutal and effective. She chops me in the left shoulder, takes off my right ear, then buries a crushing blow in the right side of my ribcage. The bones break, and something inside me ruptures. I crumple downward, just close enough to the flower. Lilith glances back at her Emperor, knowing I'm mortally wounded, but unable to detect why he's screaming. Almost blind with pain, I fumble for the flower with my poisoned hand. Another dose of poison goes through two more of my fingers. My vision pulses, and I hurl the flower up at Lilith's face. It is the only part of her not covered with armor. I don't see where it hits her, I just hear her screaming. She stumbles away, almost dropping her hatchet. Something clanks on the wall behind where I stand. It's connected to me. I reach backward and find metal. I pull on it till I feel pressure release in my back. It's one of Lilith's hatchets. I look at her, and I stumble from the pain and loss of blood as I wind up to throw it at her. She's hunched beside the clone. There's a ripping sound, and she stands up with a shudder. It was her nose the needles got, and she didn't take any chances with how much of her nose she cut off. She turns back to me, and pulls another hatchet from the sheath on her thigh to join the bloody one she already has. I throw my hatchet at her. She doesn't bother dodging, it just sparks off her armor. I lose faith in the fight, and I dive into the escape hole to plunge forward. The ride is a minute almost straight down through darkness. The tunnels go almost as deep as the Dragonmoor bunker. The tube levels off and deposits me on a soft landing pad in a small room. It is one of the Citadel's secondary fallback bunkers. There are four tubes that can access it. I pull a lever to close all four. They might have found everything else in my office, but not this. I'm going to pass out from blood loss soon. I'll rush past the weapons cases to the medical station. Arm broken, I clumsily grab the laser saw first. The blue line of energy comes to life. Without hesitating, I slice off my index finger at the bottom joint. The pain of the amputation and cauterization are meager compared with that of the Lily's toxins. I leave the gouge where my ear used to be, weeping blood. The flow has already diminished and will stop soon from coagulation. I take off the middle finger at the top joint and just the tip of the ring finger. I discard the laser cutter and reach for the cauterizing gun. No time for anything pretty. Even with it, my internal organs will likely keep bleeding in a rupture. I moan over the medical table in pain as the gun melts close the wound on my right side. Then I seal the other ones I can reach. I thought I would face a dire choice, to save Severo and my friends or to save myself. Now I realize there is no choice. If I don't get out, I will die, and so will the fleet in orbit. I have to get out. I take 3 shots of stims to stay awake, then pump blood from the med station supply into myself as I sit woozily in front of the communications terminal. It is located beside the ejection chute. The terminal is already in Black Cathedral protocol. Someone else must have called it. Cavax? Holiday? The hidden network immediately connects me to the bridge of the Reynard, Cavax's flagship. He turns to see me on his displays. Sophocles tilts his head toward the camera. Cavax, I am in the small chapel. The man's eyes widen. Flashes from battle wash over his face. I have internal bleeding in the kidneys, and likely the liver. Left arm is broken, right hand losing function. Severo, Clown, and Pebble are also prisoners in the Sun Hall. How many clergy in the building? 4. But they are in Moon Hall and connecting tunnels are compromised. I won't be able to go to them, I say, looking down at my wound. Do you know where the prisoners are located? No. Can you find out? He asks. Giving you access to internal cameras still connected to the systems, I say. Cavax, make the call. I'll go back for them if you think I can make it. He and his techs sort the feeds for a few moments to find the ones I sent. As they do, I examine the defense systems I had installed in the Citadel. Nearly all of them are dark. Lilith and the clone peeled my fortress apart. Oddly, the escape and transit systems are the only systems running. Likely so the clone and the bone riders could move about behind the scenes while they pulled the strings of their puppet government. Cavax is done appraising the information I sent. Where are they? I ask. Let me see your wounds. I turn them toward the camera. Eject, he says. We have teams on the ground ready to move at exit. Eject. My heart wants to be the person who risks it for Severo in the face of certain death. My head can't decide. But in this situation, the person on his end of the line is the boss. Cavax has operational control. I look emptily at the ejection tube. Is this what it comes down to? Leaving the best of my friends in the clutches of a ghost from my past? I suppose so. Severo was right. I am not Mustang any longer. I am the Sovereign. I crank open the ejection hatch, crying out from the pain as I use my broken arm. I feel very selfish as I crawl through the aperture into a small padded compartment large enough to fit 10. I close the hatch behind me, and the lights in the compartment and in the concrete tunnel glow. Electricity channels through the 2 metal rails on either side of the tunnel, and the compartment shoots forward. It carries me away from not only Severo, Clown, and Pebble. It carries me away from the place Daxo died, and the people who killed him. It takes me away from 10 years of work in a place I had always feared. I had dreamed of one day leaving the Citadel of Light behind, perhaps ousted from office in a hard-fought election against a worthy successor, or after my relevance had worn out. I once hoped it would be Dancer who took it on next. Never did I imagine my last time leaving the Citadel would be like this. As the compartment races along the 40-kilometer tunnel, I make myself a promise that this will be the second to last time I leave the Citadel. I will return to finish this, and then I will never see this place again. It feels like a dream when the compartment slows to a stop. The hatch pops open above my head, and I emerge. Large men in armor stand waiting for me. But then their rifles rise, and I see the Vox upside-down pyramid on their armor. I stand there with my hands in the air, feeling myself fading. Gunfire comes from the hall, and before the men can turn around, the wall behind them erupts. High-powered rounds mow them down in seconds. A team of heavily armed Lion Guard and Pegasus Legion soldiers burst in from the hall, hunched over their weapons. The battered helmet of a Pegasus Centurion retracts to reveal Holiday T. Nakamura. "Lie down, Mom," she barks. Two of her men expand a peculiar stretcher with two large pods on each end. Holiday forces me down onto it. I make no arguments. I can barely walk. "Reynard, this is Grey Rock. I have Gold Horse. We are on the move." The stretcher locks me in place. I see what the pods are for when an intense pulse field throbs between them with a thrum. Two soldiers carry the stretcher as Holiday leads a squad out of the room. Gunfire echoes through the halls. Gunship engines roar outside as we ascend the bunker via the stairs. Dozens of Vox Legionnaires lie dead. More of Holiday's lurcher squads join us. They look like a troop of evil gargoyles as they push from the bunker in force out into the light of day. We're in one of my brother's craters. Now I see why Kavax didn't send in men through the tunnel earlier. It's in the center of a Vox Mobile Infantry Legion headquarters. Lion Guard and Pegasus Legion gunships lay waste to the camp. Holiday leads the Special Forces troopers straight into the back of a waiting assault transport. Its guns rattle as we lift off as soon as I'm aboard. 50 Pegasus troopers activate their boots and fly close behind the transport as the door seals. The war becomes a distant rumble. A medical team waiting in the assault shuttle rushes to me. Before I can object, they sedate me. I feel our escape from atmosphere distantly through the bumps that resonate through the deck. When I go weightless, I know we have made it to space. When the shuttle wheezes to a stop and clunks down on a deck, I know I have made it to the Reynard. I close my eyes and succumb to the loss of blood. I wake to find Darrow's mother asleep at my bedside with Sophocles in her arms. The ship is quiet. It seems they disengaged with the Fox fleet. Monitors above me track my vitals. I am in the Reynard's medical bay. Sophocles wakes up first and gives a little yip and jumps on my bed. I wince as pain races through my right side from my wound. "Stupid animal," Deanna says, swatting it away. She wipes sleep from her eyes and looks down on me with such protective love that I start to cry. Not for myself, but for her. For the pain I see in her eyes, and all the pain she must have felt these last days for her son, for her grandson, for Severo, for me. And then I cry for Daxo and Theodora and the friends I left behind with the monster. She cradles me as I do, humming in my ear, as I have always wished my mother had done for me. Hours later, when I've worked up the strength, Kavax and Niobe come to see me. I worry for a moment that Nakamura was too ashamed to come, but then Deanna drags her inside. Holiday can barely meet my eyes for the shame of letting me be captured. It wasn't her fault. I was thoroughly undone. I'd weep again to Kavax and Niobe for Daxo. But all that needs to wait. "Has Heliopolis fallen?" I ask. "Not yet," Kavax says, "but our agents say it only has days left." "Darrow?" I ask. "We don't know," Niobe says. "Pax?" Kavax can't answer, so Niobe does. "Ephraim T. Horn abducted them from the Obsidium. Their whereabouts are currently unknown." "Abducted them? Again? We don't know why, but it occurred immediately after the Pandora was hit. Victra is missing. Her escape shuttle was found, but the first rescue team was shot down crossing Obsidian airspace. Her legions were grounded on the orders of the Arch-Governor, for fear they would initiate a war with Sephi's Obsidian. I lean forward in hope. Rolo survived, then. He's a good man. Stalwart. Tough. Loyal. And he was a son of Ares. No, Holiday says. They assassinated him in Aegea. I sink into the bed. Well, then it's Vorrel. They shake their heads. They got him too. Well, then who took the post? Some idiot, Deanna says. Kieran, Kavax answers heavily. Temporary appointment by Mars's regional governors. Darrow's brother. I sent him to Mars with Niobe to negotiate with the Obsidian. I'm hopelessly behind. Wait, no, Publius and Zahn mentioned this. Who assaulted the ship? It looks like Sephi, Kavax says. I just blink at him. I never thought we should have trusted that mongrel breed. First the coppers, then the crows. Looking up at them, I just realize that they think Publius did all this. I don't have time to explain. Calming her husband, Niobe shows me the current disposition of ships in the system.
Atalantia is still massed at Mercury, with a smaller fleet at Venus.
Most of the Republic battleships are here around Luna, while the Ecliptic Guard gathers over Mars. Is this fleet strong enough to break through Ash Armada over Mercury? I ask Kavax. Yes, Kavax says. No, Niobe corrects. We cannot defeat them without Ecliptic Guard or the Vox fleet joining us. We might be able to break through as is, but to land and load under fire. She stiffens. A miracle could occur. Or it could be the greatest disaster of the war. We have to try, Kavax says. Darrow would for us. Deanna heads to the door. Deanna, stay, I say. No, she says gruffly. Maybe I can one day forgive you for doing what needs doing. But I can't give you permission to abandon my boy. She steps out. Holiday still has not weighed in. Virginia, there's something else you need to know, Niobe says. The Rim has made a secret alliance with the Corps. It can't get any worse. Fresh ships, fresh legions of enemies, thrown into the fray at the exact moment they could break our backs. They are currently unaware we have this intel. We don't know where they will strike, but we can assume it will be decisive. She looks at her husband. Mercury is in far orbit. I think they will hit us as we cross near the sun, when our sensors are distorted. No, Kavax says, disagreeing again. They will hit Mars. Take out the Phobos dockyards, eye for an eye. And that is why we should return to Mars, Niobe says.
Kavax knows better the Rim, and I know better Atalantia. Mars cannot fall.
No one has suggested rescuing Sevro, I say. We sent 3 teams in through the tunnel after we evac'd you. We lost contact with them 10 minutes later. Niobe steps toward the bed. Virginia, we have 4 operatives still in the building under Moonhall. They are Sevro's best chance. But if we try to hammer our way in now... Massacre. And the clone kills my friends. We can't stay here, Niobe says. The Vox fleet wants a fight. They're still pursuing and we're 1 million clicks away from Luna. Surely Plubius can be reasoned with, Kavax says to me. To do all this, he might have used the mob, but he can be rational. If we fight his fleet, no matter who loses, gold wins. It's almost too much to bear. What do you think, Holiday? I ask. Finally, she meets my eyes. Retreat is the only option, ma'am. We must regroup on Mars. If we go, that leaves Earth alone with the Vox and the swelling gold host. It will fall unless the clone sees it is in his interest to try to defend it with his Lunese fleet. But Mars can be defended. without help from Luna. Earth cannot. Then we go to Mars, I say. Though I promised my husband I would come for him, I cannot. It is a betrayal that will haunt me to the grave. Kabak sags in exhaustion. He sees me notice and finally seems to see the scores of wounds the mob gave me on my exposed arms, neck and legs. I had forgotten them. The tears gather in his eyes as he leans over the bed. All hope is not lost, he whispers to me. I fail to see how he can believe that. He kisses my forehead.
I sent a man to Mercury to bring Darrow home if Heliopolis falls.
Who? I ask. The same man who told us the Rim was coming.